Now, before we get off track here and start thinking about these things happening in our day in Canada, I want us to ponder something that is closer to home. I want us to think and meditate upon finding satisfaction in our Lord Jesus. He made a number of claims, and the greatest, I think, is, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, I hope that you've come to church today because you have a spiritual hunger. I mentioned about normal physical bread. We've had some of that already today, most of us. Now it's time for the spiritual food. And so while you are perfectly fine as far as physical food goes and clothing and material things, we need God's house and we need the Bible and we need worship because there's a hunger in our souls.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And today we're going to be looking at labor not for the meat that perisheth, but rather labor for that very meat that endureth unto eternal life. These are the words of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel and chapter 6. And I trust that you will stay with us right through as we let the Bible speak today. We have a hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus. And firstly, I want to tell the story of the lost Arab. An Arab once lost his way in a desert. His provisions were soon exhausted. For 2 days and two nights, he had not a morsel to eat. He began to fear that he should die of hunger. He looked eagerly, but in vain, along the level sand for some caravan of travelers from whom he might beg some bread. At last he came to a place where there was a little water in a well, and around the well's mouth the marks of an encampment. Some people had lately pitched their tents there, and had gathered them up and gone away again. The starving Arab looked around in the hope of finding some food that the travelers might have left behind. After searching a while, he came upon a little bag, tied at the mouth and full of something that felt hard and round. He opened the bag with great joy, thinking it contained either dates or nuts, and expecting that with them he should be able to satisfy his hunger. But as soon as he saw what it contained, he threw it on the ground and cried out in despair, "It is only pearls." He lay down in the desert to die. Pearls are very precious. If the man had been at home, this bagful of pearls would have made his fortune. He would have received a large sum of money for them, and would have been a rich man. But pearls could not feed him when he was hungry. Although you had your house full of pearls, if you have not bread, you will die. The Arab knew the value of the pearls that he found, but he would have given them all at that moment for one morsel of bread, would have given them, but could not, for there was no bread within his reach. So although he was very rich, he was left to die of want. Pearls and gold cannot preserve the life of the body, for far less can they satisfy the soul. Bread is more precious to a hungry man than pearls, and the bread of life is more precious still. Christ has expressly said, "I am the bread of life." How foolish it is to spend oneself in gathering things that cannot feed us if we are hungry and cannot save us from our sin. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and keep other things in a lower place. The chief thing for each of us is to get in Christ the life of our souls forever, and then we may gladly accept whatever good things in this life God may be pleased to give us. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He who is rich when he comes to die, but is still without Christ for his soul, is like the Arab in the desert, with his bag full of pearls, but perishing for want of bread. What a story and what a message we have here today. And there are so many. They are busy building their homes. They are busy in employment, climbing the ladder of corporate life, doing all kinds of physical, menial, earthly, material things. But when it comes to heaven, They haven't a morsel. There's not a crumb to their account for heaven because they don't have Christ. He is that pearl of great price, and we must have him or we perish. This is the message of the gospel over and over and over again, that men are continually seeking to build greater in this world while it's temporary, seeking to build their fame and their fortune in things that do not last. And so the Lord Jesus gave us this great text, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but rather for the meat that endureth. And that is our message today, and I trust that it will be a message and a help to you and to all, that the Lord may lead you to faith in the Lord Jesus. First of all, our message and song, Fairest Lord Jesus. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. We're moving to John's Gospel, chapter 6, the words of the Lord Jesus, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but rather labor for the meat that endureth to everlasting life.
Back in John 6, and we learn here that after the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of multiplying those loaves and fishes, that crowds followed the Lord. At first, they wanted to make him king, in an earthly manner, and he avoided that, and even to the other side of Galilee, over to Capernaum, they were following after him. What an exciting time it must have been when multitudes that had witnessed already his miracles were now seemingly more and more interested in the Lord, that they would give up anything else they were doing and follow him even at a distance. I wonder, shall we ever see the like of it in Canada? Will we ever see crowds and multitudes interested in the Lord Jesus? Do you think it's possible? Will we ever see it in our lifetime? A time when there are more people than seats in the church? A time when there's more interest in the Son of God than there is in material things? But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because we're going to learn that these crowds were more interested in more food, more loaves and fish, than they were in the Savior. Now, before we get off track here and start thinking about these things happening in our day in Canada, I want us to ponder something that is closer to home. I want us to think and meditate upon finding satisfaction in our Lord Jesus. He made a number of claims, and the greatest, I think, is, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, I hope that you've come to church today because you have a spiritual hunger. I mentioned about normal physical bread. We've had some of that already today, most of us. Now it's time for the spiritual food. And so while you are perfectly fine as far as physical food goes and clothing and material things. We need God's house and we need the Bible and we need worship because there's a hunger in our souls. That hunger is a powerful and it is a wonderful thing. Are you hungry today for the bread of life? I think there's a whole lot of malnourished, miserable Christians around, and they're living more a hollow life than they are a hallowed life. They're empty, famished. I want to meditate then on the Christian's true satisfaction in Christ. Last week we looked at our Lord as our sympathizer. Today, as our satisfier. Are you satisfied with your Lord Jesus? Do you draw daily satisfaction from Him, just as you feed the hunger of your stomach by physical bread? Do you feed the hunger of your soul by coming to the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life? It was Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till it rests in thee." That's how God has created us. That's how God has made us. And of course, if we're born again, there is a spiritual hunger. There is now a longing and a desire for more and more of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Now you might say, this is mysterious stuff. But then life is a mystery. Birth is a mystery. Personality is a mystery. Human experience is a mystery. Satan is a mystery. And here's another mystery we'll add to it. The spiritual hunger that you have in your soul. And of course, how the Lord Jesus is the bread that has been sent down from heaven. And my prayer is that you will be led today into greater satisfaction, a real personal satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. Will you follow along on this? Just give your mind and heart to meditate on the Lord here today. I notice, and I'm taking today verse 27 as the text. So let's read the text together. Our Lord Jesus said here, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." I notice here a word of correction. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. It's a word of rebuke about overexcitement about material things, the things of the flesh. These disciples and the multitudes of people were overly impressed with those 12 baskets, the food that was remaining over, the physical food. They were willing to cross or get around Galilee and come to Capernaum for more. And the Lord rebuked them. And he said, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." We need to be rebuked as well, even as Christians, over our overexcitement about satisfying the physical cravings of the flesh. Well, that's a tendency we have. We're in the flesh. And yes, we like to be pampered. We like the good things of this world. And there are many that get so excited about them, and indeed overexcited about them, that they neglect the thing that's important. I noted last week in news clips after the World Cup was all over, and I didn't watch it on the Lord's Day, and I noticed this later, the frenzy, the absolute frenzy. There were masses of people in the streets shouting, screaming, sweating, craziness reigning, and it's all over. And the Lord said, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." There are people that get so excited about things that are temporary. And the reality is we're all guilty. Not of the same things, not to the same extent, but we're guilty of getting our priorities wrong. There are those who use alcohol and drugs as stimuli to get excitement in their lives. They turn to those things. Others to material riches, various pleasures, and they run after them with great excitement. And the Lord says, He rebukes us, labor not for the meat that perisheth. But there's a double rebuke here. There's two rebukes in one here. And I must say that I missed this. I missed it until I did a little more homework, and then it dawned on me. It came to light. Not only did the Lord rebuke them for laboring with overexcitement about material things that perish, but if you look at the construction of the text, it says, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. We are to get excited about the real food. We are to be stirred up about the things that concern our souls. And there lies the problem. We get our priorities wrong. We get excited about the temporal, the things that perish, and we're dull and lazy about the things that are really important, the spiritual and the eternal. And we are to labor. We're to labor, it says. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. And we're to expend our strength and our effort, feeding our souls and attending to the spiritual needs of our lives. And because we're so inclined to the physical, feeding the body, putting food on the table, feeding a family, paying our bills, doing those things that are temporary, we get caught up in them, that we're guilty of getting our priorities all wrong. And I need that word of rebuke. We all need this word of rebuke. We need to be corrected and get this straightened out. And you know and I know there are people, and they wear themselves out over material things. They just wear themselves out. They fret and they worry, and they go without sleep. They injure their health because of overexcitement, overattention about the meat that perisheth. And then many wouldn't cross the road to come to a gospel church to feed their soul. That's the tragedy. That's the issue. And of course, the excuses are so many. Well, church is too early for me. It's too early. It's too far. It takes too long. And I may not find the seat that I like. Someone else might take it. And they'll say, well, I've been there before and I've heard it all before. You see, priorities are wrong. And while the same people will cross the oceans about material things, they wouldn't cross the road to see to their soul. Now, I think we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, you've hit the nail on the head. It's true, and I'm guilty. I fail to get my priorities right. And I accept, Lord, the rebuke that all I'm really, really interested in is the material. Well, I ought to be seeking that bread which is from heaven, the bread that satisfies the soul. Now, will you just, in honesty before God, take the word of correction and say, Lord, will you help me just to put this right, my attitudes, my priorities, and I need to labor to feed my soul that I might be satisfied in Christ. You see, there are so many professing Christians who are not satisfied. That's what this addresses. There are many people who take the name of Jesus upon their lips and they're not satisfied. They're still running after the world and they're not attending to spiritual things. Now that brings us to the Lord's word of satisfaction. If you move on in verse 27, you'll notice he says that, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now that food The word meat here is food, by the way. It's not animal flesh. It's food of any kind. And there is this food which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, this, of course, was the Lord's life on earth, who came from heaven as the bread of heaven for our souls. And I have to ask myself, am I satisfied with my Savior? Am I really satisfied? I'm a professing Christian. I tell others that I have made my only hope for heaven to be the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. I believe in certain doctrines of Him. But the question is, am I satisfied with my Lord Jesus? And I can only answer for myself here today and say, yes, I am. I am satisfied with my Lord Jesus. And I'm satisfied that He came from heaven. If you look at verse 33, he says, "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven." And I'm satisfied with that. I know that my Lord is divine. He is not of this world. He was not a sinful man. He was not the son of Adam. He came from above. You'll see in verse 27 at the end, "For Him hath God the Father sealed." Now, a seal in biblical times was sometimes the king's ring dipped in the wax, and the wax stamped onto a document or an envelope that could not be opened until the proper recipient opened it, and it was therefore marked as from the king. Our Lord Jesus has been sealed by the Father. He's authentic. He came from the Father. Divinity has been stamped upon His whole life. His words were divine. His works were miraculous. His resurrection was miraculous. Everything about the Lord Jesus tells us that He is not of this world. He came from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I take great delight that my Lord Jesus is bread from heaven. Now, in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves." You see, many use religion and Christianity for their material ends, and they never enjoy a morsel of real gospel satisfaction in their souls. They're always busy with the material, the physical bread. And I have to search my heart. Am I only interested in the material, or am I truly, really resting in the greatness of my Lord? Am I satisfied with Him? I can truly say, I can honestly say, I am satisfied. I know my Lord Jesus came from heaven for me. But you know, we have to meditate on this to get the sweetness of the blessing. We need to find satisfaction in the great person and the truths of our Lord Jesus. Now, I was out in the garden yesterday and I was doing some watering. And while I was watering, there was this huge bumblebee came along. And God sent that bumblebee to teach me a lesson, to show me something that I needed to learn. And I watered and I watched that bumblebee at work. And he went from flower to flower. Now, I sowed this packet of wild flower seeds earlier in the season. And you talk about wild flowers. They're wild. They're all colors, shapes, and sizes. Mixed flower seed. And there's this particular blue flower that this bumblebee was interested in. And he went from each flower petal, and he, with his long nose, dipped in. And you could see him working systematically, one after the other, sucking out the nectar for whatever purposes he had in mind, to sustain itself or another, whatever. But it was busy. Talk about a busy bee. Now, you ask that bee, are you satisfied? I tell you, that bee was finding satisfaction. And we as Christians who make great profession of who our Lord Jesus is, we need to learn how to meditate. We need to be busy bees in the truths and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You remember how Paul prayed that prayer that we dwelt on earlier at the beginning. He talked about that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Paul prayed for that. He yearned for that in the hearts of God's people. And here is how it happens. You see, we have this great store of the grace of our Lord Jesus, but we need to labor for the meat that endureth to everlasting life. We need to be busy bee Christians. We need to be drawing in, enjoying the reality of the Lord whom we love and serve.
Please send for our church magazine, The Current, and this issue we're dealing with, the loss of free speech. Weekly news reports cite incidents of Christians who have been censured for failing to align themselves with the gay agenda. Diabolical worldwide forces are at work, demanding full endorsement of the LGBTQ agenda from all government staff and their citizens. In many quarters, the right to object to the philosophies and practices is not a right, but a mark of intolerance and sufficient reasons to deny positions of employment and participation in public life. Let it be pointed out that while it is a crime to break the law of the land, it is not a crime in democratic countries to speak against government laws, nor to work toward changing them. A politician has no right to expect all citizens to adopt all of his or her personal views, no matter how sacredly or dearly he or she holds them, yet this is what's happening through government agendas today. So send for our magazine, The Current. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.